Sometimes this old world gets me down, and I don't know just what to do. Could we lower that just one? Sometimes this old world gets me down, and I don't know just what to do. And sometimes it gets hard to smile. Let the sun shine through. But even in my darkest days, when I can hardly see my way, I can feel the hand of Jesus. He's been a friend to me. Jesus, He gave my life a song. Jesus, I sing it all day long. He made my life worth living, you see. He's been a friend to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sprung a new one on these musicians. Sorry about that. Could you lower that one more? A friend, when the days are dark and the storm winds blow. Have you ever been there? A friend, when the morning sun sets my world all aglow. But more than all, He's been a friend before I ever knew Him to be. A greater love hath no one. Gave His life for me. Jesus, He gave my life a song. Jesus, I sing it all day long. He made my life worth living, you see. He's been a friend. Jesus, He gave my life a song. Sweet Jesus, I sing it all day long. He made my life worth living, you see. He's been a friend to me. A friend. When the days are dark and the storm winds blow, a friend. When the morning sun sets my world all aglow, but more than all, He's been my friend before I ever knew Him to be. A greater love hath no one. He gave His life for me. Jesus.
Jesus. He gave my life a song, sweet Jesus. I sing it all day long. He made my life worth living, you see. He's been a friend to me.
Can we worship him right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We, of course, count it a great honor and privilege to stand before you tonight. As Brother Martin said, we, of course, are home mission pastor from Phoenix, Arizona. We would like tonight to give honor to our chairman, Brother Johnson, assistants, Brother Wilson, Brother Mayo, the executive board, the general board, pulpit committee. I'd also like to give honor to all the ministers of the gospel. And I believe we can safely say tonight that we stand among ministers without peer. There are no better ministers in the world than are sitting right here tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you would stand with me one more time. I would like to direct your attention to the Word of God. And of course, you men that has preceded me this week, you know exactly what I'm feeling right now and where I stand, and I covet your prayers. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Beginning with verse 8. We'll be reading through verse 12. Word of God says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Can you say amen? For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The night is far spent. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And can everybody say amen? Would you join me in prayer right now? Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for your word. We thank you because we know there's life in your word.
I love you. I appreciate you.
Lord, we know the will that we seek in you, we find in your word. And oh Jesus, we exalt your name because we know you're worthy tonight. And we know that your will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We'd like to call your attention to verse number 11 one more time, and I'll use this as basis for what I feel like the Spirit would desire to say to the church today. And as you can well imagine, I have this feeling in my heart that I just as soon you forget my name. But friend, we dare not have closed ears to what the Spirit would say to the church. It's imperative. I feel an urgency tonight. Here we are, last night of conference. And we've heard the will of God expressed every night. But I submit to you tonight, we are facing not only in the remainder of this year, but in the decade of the 90s, we're facing the biggest challenge that the Church of God has ever faced. And we must hear what the Spirit would say to the church. It's not enough just to deal in vague generalities. We must hear specifics. As you can well tell, this is last night, and I've been here all week. And I'll admit to you, Brother St. Clair, this thing has been burning a hole in my heart. It's been consuming my spirit all week. Verse number 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." It doesn't matter whether you believed 50 years ago or last night. I submit to you, we are living in the very last waning hours of this generation. It's high time. The subject of time has always fascinated me. Time, of course, is described as the period between two eternities. And as we fastly approach the decade of the 90s, Brother St. Clair, it's such a challenge in our spirit because we're facing challenges that no generation up till now has had to deal with. Elders, I submit to you, in all honesty, in all humility, that we are dealing with spirits and attitudes like no other generation. Do you sometimes wonder at the thing that you're feeling and is coming against your spirit? Let me tell you tonight, it can simply be encapsulated in these words. It's just a sign of the time. Don't think it unique. If you're dealing with spirits and attitudes that you never dreamed you would have to deal with, hallelujah. Come on. You're quiet. Do you believe what I'm saying? Time, the period between two eternities. We do not see the essence of it, but we are affected by the guidelines of it. We that are in the ministry, we wrestle with this all the time. Time, time. There's not enough time. Ministers, you should say amen. I many times have wished there were 48 hours in one day rather than 24 hours in a day. We're
constantly wrestling with the restrictions that time imposes upon us. We're so dependent on the guidelines of time that man has, of course, learned to compute it by dividing it into years and months and weeks and days and hours and minutes and seconds. We're prisoners of it. We're prisoners of it. Time to a young man is sometimes an enemy. You that have a few years on you can relate to this. You remember when you was a young man? And it seemed like Christmas would never come. Come on. It seemed like time just drug. We just couldn't wait until we were 16. We could get that driver's license. We couldn't wait till we were 18 and get that high school diploma. We just couldn't wait till we're 21 so we could be a man. Come on. But as time goes by, it suddenly dawns on us as we become older that time is a precious commodity. So as the years progress, we sometimes wish, Lord, I wish time would just slow up a little bit. In fact, at those special times like we have lived through in this, even this conference, sometimes we wish that we could just suspend time. I don't know how it is at your church, and don't think me imposing if I just tell you a little bit about our church. We're having revival in Phoenix. And I'm not up here plugging home missions. I'm just telling you that prayer and fasting still gets the job done. Hallelujah. We can organize. Brother Johnson, I've heard it already this week. If I get out of line, pull my coat. We can organize, we can plan. We can delegate, we can dictate, but until we get back to the basics, come on, who believes that? It's still prayer, fasting, hard work. Come on. Do you believe it? And I submit to you that that still gets God's attention. The old man, older man, time's a precious commodity to him. Because it dawns on him as he goes along that he's running out. Apostolic Church tonight, I want us to leave this conference with a new comprehension of where we are and what we are and what our obligation is to this generation. Let's cut through the red tape. Let's get to where the rubber meets the road. What is the purpose of it all? I submit to you, everything we do, we must do in the light of eternal values. Everything else is incidental. We have truth. We have His Spirit. We have His name. We have His best. We need not seek for any other, because there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time never affects that. Fashion, trends, modern societies, let them come, let them go. But our eternal salvation, Brother Manus, depends on holding to that truth. Are you apostolic tonight? I said, there's no other name. There's no other name. We teach it in Phoenix. Brother Mayo, it still gets results. It still gets the job done. Those special times, of course, that we would like to just suspend time. Of course, we know that's not possible. Because you know, it doesn't matter where you're from, how young or how old you are, we're all attached, if you'll let me say it like that, to this vehicle that's making a mad dash from one dimension to another. And as bad as you would like to slow it down, I see Brother J. Frank Wilson. I see these men that have been down the road a while, and if they could tell you tonight, I'm sure they would say it just seems like yesterday that my boys were little. It just seems like yesterday that I was a young man. Young men, let me challenge you today. You have control of a lot of things. But sir, in all respect, this thing we call time, you have no control over it. You're attached to it. We must all agree that on the prophetic time clock, I touched on this just briefly, but on the prophetic time clock, wouldn't you agree with me that we are in the waning hours of time? I wonder tonight, honestly, has that really sunk in? Brother Wilson, it concerns me. Do we in fact realize that eternity, the rapture, is upon us? And what we will do, we must do. Quickly. Quickly. In this race with time. We're living tonight in the raptured generation. When I saw the theme of this conference, there was something leaped in my spirit. My Lord, let us be consumed with that knowledge. And I submit to you tonight that if we will become consumed with that truth, when we leave here, it will revolutionize our lives, our churches, everything about us. if we really believe it, we must take a fresh look, a new look, at what it's really going to take to be ready for it. If we go, we must be willing to meet all the qualifications. You're staying quiet, but I hope you believe what I'm saying. The Bible tells me He's coming back after a glorious church. That tells something, that denotes something to me. A glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. And in order for this church to be a glorious church, it must be a busy church, an active church, a church that's not satisfied with the status quo. A church that's not satisfied with the accomplishments of yesterday. A church that is intent on being on the cutting edge of everything that the Spirit is doing in our day. Do you desire it? Do you desire it? Hallelujah. 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 Time. Mark 16, 17, and 18. I'm talking about the glorious church. Won't you ask yourself right now, is my contribution to this church helping it on its way to that position of being glorious? Mark 16, 17, and 18, these signs shall follow. Everybody say, shall follow. Them that believe in my name, they're going to cast out devils. Can I talk about that in a while? I know you're tired. It's been a long week. But I feel like the Spirit is talking to this convocation tonight. What is it going to take to be a part of that glorious church? I must know. I must know. I've got to know. Otherwise, we've missed the whole object. In my name, they're going to cast out devils. I had an apostolic minister tell me just a few weeks ago, Brother Mayo. He said, I leave them alone, and they leave me alone. I beg to differ with you, sir. I don't know how it is back here in this country, but we deal with a lot of them out there. Sir, you either deal with them, or they overtake you. Come on. They don't leave you alone. In the Western United States, and I can speak of that because I've lived in that locale for over 20 years now. That seems strange, but time does fly. We're not talking about the jungles of Africa, sir. We're not talking about the huts of Haiti, sir. We're talking about the good old USA. Satanic worship, satanic churches. We may close our eyes to it, sir, but that don't Make it not so. Some of you, I hope not, but this may make you a little uneasy. But this Bible tells me, Brother Johnson, these signs shall follow. These signs shall follow. Report come to me even in this conference, in one state, in very close proximity to where we reside, in the schools, they have a group of satanic worshipers. They bring their satanic Bibles. They're very involved in this sort of thing. And there's teenage girls, Brother Mayo, that have committed themselves to bearing babies so that they can sacrifice them in satanic rituals. I don't mean to cast a wet blanket on what we're feeling tonight, but sir, we must be aware. As soon as the babies are born, they sacrifice them to Satan. Young people, let me talk to you just a moment. When this dear minister told me I leave them alone and they leave me alone, was something really moved in my spirit. Because ignorance is not bliss. Ignoring a situation does not change it. And there are young people right in your neighborhood that are at this moment possessed of spirits. Dare we look the other way? Or will we be a part of this victorious church? And I say, in all honesty, that if we are a part of the victorious church, we will deal with these situations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a few months ago now, I'll relate to you a personal experience. You think the big guns hadn't been unleashed? You think, as I said before, we're not dealing with situations, friend, that will absolutely astound you? There is nothing that's taboo. There's nothing that is hid. Satan feels so confident because he knows his time is limited until he's taken all the covers off. Come on. Come on. Are we oblivious to it? Or will we leave here with a burning desire to be a part of the church? The glorious church. The glorious church. The glorious church. I received a phone call. 15-year-old young man. A friend. A brother-in-law of one of the men that his father goes to my church. He said, Brother Wesson, it's a crucial need. We don't know what to do about it. Will you do us a favor and come and see what you can do? To make a long story short, it was a young 15-year-old boy. Young people, let me talk to you a minute. Let me talk to you out of my heart. You talking about trouble. You talking about heartache. You turn your back on this glorious church. and you're going to have heartache and trouble like you've never believed. This young man, you've heard stories like this, I know. But this happened to me, so maybe I can put a little emphasis on it. He got involved in rock and roll, acid rock. Come on. Brother Martin, tell the young people, don't even get in close proximity to it. Come on! You say a little of it won't hurt. My friend, a little of it can be lethal. It don't take very much poison to get the job done. There can be irreparable damage to your emotions. The very seat of your soul can be bruised and stripped of everything that's godlike by simply dabbling with it a little bit. Come on. I'm preaching my heart tonight. We're talking about the rapture generation. We're talking about time running out. This young man, 15 years old, started playing in a rock band. He was the baby of the family, the pride, the apple of his dad's eye. He was born later on in the life of his father, and his father would absolutely buy him anything he wanted. He loved to play bass guitar, Brother Mayo, and the best that money could buy, he could have his pick. Three-wheelers, four-wheelers, brand new Mustang already picked out when he turned 16. Come on, I'm talking about the trappings of this society. This young man started dabbling with this game, and I don't even know enough about it to talk about it, but it's called Dungeons and Dragons. Any of you young people ever heard of that? Do they have it back here? Come on, you're being kind of coy with me. I said, have you ever heard of it? I went to the young man's home. The Johnson, they led him out of a bedroom. They'd had to lock him up. He'd beat holes in the wall. He'd rammed his fist through the window. Cut his wrist. He was berserk. Some young person in this building tonight, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. And believe me, sir, I'm not trying to wax super spiritual, but this wasn't really in my text. Just a little bit of leaven, leaven the whole lump. They tell me 95% of what's in decon is good for a rat, but that 5% is what kills him. You hear what I'm saying? You say they ain't nothing wrong with it. I beg to differ, sir. Young person, if I could have had you for 15 minutes, you could have took a good look at that young man. I'm talking 15 years old. I set him on the couch in his own home. I started talking to him. You ever heard demons talk? If you do, you'll never forget it. I said to him, I understand you got some problems. He said, and I can't say it like he said it, because it wasn't his voice, but he said, I don't have any problems. I said, young man, I understand you need deliverance. He said, I've already been delivered. I'm talking about we're running out of time. This generation's going to hell. I don't know what it does to you, but it makes me want to preach like I've never preached. Sir, if you got a calling, preach like your life depended on it, because it very well may. If you can sing, sing like you never sung. If you can pray, pray like you never prayed. His mom and dad wouldn't even come in the room. I said to the dad, can I take this young man over to the church? We're going to have a prayer meeting after a while. We pray every Saturday night from 9 to 10. I loaded this young man in my car, me and another brother in the church. Quite frankly, I didn't know what the outcome would be. I didn't know if he'd try to jump out, or I didn't know what he'd do, Brother Manus. All I knew was we had one shot. I said we had one shot. Friend, that life you touch, you may not get a second chance. We got him to the church and we started praying. I called my family and my family's here tonight, by the way. I forgot to tell you. Precious daughter, she started seeing it, this sort of thing real young, and all I have to do is get on the phone and that emergency team springs into action, Brother St. Clair. Man, you're talking about a help. You got a wife that knows how to pray. You got a daughter knows how to pray. You got a church knows how to pray, friend. You don't have anything to worry about. I pray God. Let me interject this, and I'll get back to the sermon. I pray God it never comes a time, Brother Johnson, we come to conferences and we gather together on occasions like this and we worship, or we try to worship, a God that we don't pray to. Did you hear what I said? If it ever comes to that, my friend, your worship is a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And believe me, I believe in worship. But friend, it must be preceded by a prayer life, or it means nothing. Can I hear an amen? The destiny of this generation, sir, depends on our ability to touch Him in prayer. You can go. Can I say it? Brother Johnson, can I say it? You can go to the charismatics and they'll show you how to worship. They'll teach you how to speak in tongues. But I'm telling you, when it comes down to setting a soul free, we must have the real thing. Do you believe it? Do Do you believe it? Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. We took this young man, took him to the church, started praying with him. Sure enough, it'll work every time. In my name, you're going to cast out devils. It didn't say these signs might follow. It said, come on. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You must please Him. Look at it any way you want to, from any angle. And bottom line, you must be totally willing to obey. The whole thing. We started praying, this young man, as is typical in situations like this. He started, you know what I mean? Those things started coming out. We went through about a roll of paper towels. There was stuff come out of that young man's mouth, Brother Johnson, that is indescribable. You're talking about being chocked full. Suicidal demons. Demons of lust. Hate. He hated his parents. We prayed. Those things come out. One after the other. One after the other. I wish I could end the story on a happy note. And probably you expected that. But I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to tell it like it is. I might just get one shot. So why sugarcoat it, Brother Mayo? We pray, we cast those demons out through the name of Jesus. That young man was so exhausted, he was like a limp wash rag, you know. Took him home. That was Saturday night, late in the wee hours of the morning. The Holy Ghost woke me. I was wrestling that situation because he's out of a sinner man's home. He's out of a home that is on the far side of God. And quite frankly, he's 15. He's not of age yet. A lot of hostility I felt from his parents. They call me simply because I was their last hope. The Spirit woke me 3:00 in the morning, Brother Mel, and told me what to do. And here again, I hope you take what I say and still love me for it. But the Holy Ghost said, you tell his dad, get rid of all of those rock and roll records, tapes. Get rid of all those video games that he played by the hour. Get rid of that television. The Holy Ghost said it. Before God, he did. I said the Holy Ghost said it. And create for this young man, the Holy Ghost said, a clean environment. Otherwise, he'll never survive. Needless to say, that Sunday morning, they had promised to make sure he got to church. Well, they didn't get him there, so as soon as I had lunch, my wife can correct me, but I believe I'm telling this in the chronological order. As soon as I had lunch, I went to their home. Here again, not totally welcomed, because even though they wanted that young man well, they did not want to change their life. So I walked in, and the lady was in the kitchen, and I asked concerning the man, and she said he's out in the backyard. And I went out, and ironically enough, he was a construction superintendent on a job that I had worked on, so I knew him casually. And it shocked him when I walked in to pray for his son, because he did not know that I pastored the church. But I walked back and I sat down with him, Brother St. Clair, and it wasn't a warm reception. He just wouldn't even look at me. He just kind of said, "Well, Pastor, I appreciate what you did last night. I think James is going to be all right now." And I said, "Sir, I must tell you what the Holy Ghost said." So I proceeded. I didn't leave nothing out. Because you see, when the Holy Ghost says it, that lends validity to it. And you don't have to fear, minister friend. Fear is of the devil. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will back you in a corner where Satan can overtake you. And I feel a little unction in the Holy Ghost when I said that. Evangelist, if you're wrestling with fear tonight, I want to tell you something. You're a little uncertain about God's will for you. I want to tell you what the Holy Ghost told me right before church. You searching His will? Look no further than right here. I'm talking about the whole ball of wax. If you'll preach it all, sir, the doors will open. They'll still get the Holy Ghost. They'll still be delivered. Hallelujah. I told him everything the Holy Ghost said. He said, "Yeah, preacher, you're probably right." I said, "I'll have my daughters make up some good apostolic singing. And we'll replace all of those Metallica and Motley Crue." And the reason I know about these groups, that young man told me, he said, "I was listening to this one particular song on this Metallica record, When the Demons Come, Preacher." You better listen. They've all been unleashed, friend. And they're all damnable. You're right. It's just in a different package, but it still portrays the same message. Love them, leave them, break their hearts. Live like the devil, go to hell. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? We've heard enough good singing this week, Brother Johnson. We should put the country western out of business. I believe it.
He said, "You're right, preacher." I told him I'll bring some good tapes over. Souls Harbor, y'all with me? Have I went over my time yet? Okay. This is my people right down here. Souls Harbor, raise your hand. Here's some more Souls Harbor, huh? I thought that was an original name, and here I get the apostolic witness, and there's one, maybe two. He agreed with me. "Yeah, you're probably right, preacher." I explained to him. I said, "Sir, the Holy Ghost told me that in order for your young man to survive, you're going to have to cut off all the poison that's been injected into his mind." I saw in the spirit, Brother Wilson, I saw that young man's mind. As if it was right before my eyes. And it was the most tragic thing you'd ever seen. It had been pulverized. Brother Manus, it had been ruined, bruised, beyond belief by that constant pound, pound, pound of that satanic music. That night before we went to the church, he went over and said, "Preacher, I want to let you hear what I was listening to." And he turned that thing up until it rattled the windows, and he would grimace. He would grimace like it was just hurting him, but he was drawn to it like an addict to cocaine. He had to have it. Just, he knew it was pounding that bruised mind. Young people, you with me? Young men, you hear what I'm saying? This isn't youth night, Brother Martin. The Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. The generation of the 90s depends on you, young man. You must hear a voice from Mount Sinai. You must be consumed with this gospel, or you will not make it. No ifs, ands, or buts. It'd be an impossibility. You must get a hold of something genuine. You must take a stand. You must quit fighting Satan from a defensive posture. You must take the offensive. Hallelujah. That means you, young person. That means you, saint of God. That means you, minister. We must have, for the herd, we must have the pure, unadulterated gospel. It cannot be tainted with anything. Apostolics, we sit by sometimes so puffed up and sure of ourselves. Brother Johnson, here again. Pull my coattail if I'm wrong. But I read in the scripture, it don't say, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you go through the motions of apostolic. You know what I'm saying? It don't say they'll know you if you speak in tongues. It don't say they'll know you're my disciple if you shout a little bit and dance a little bit. It said they're going to know you're my disciples. You can already tell me if you have love. I'm talking about the rapture. Here again, look at it any way you want to, friend. A man that'll kill his brother will do anything. And sir, if you'll kill your brother, there's a place in hell waiting for you. And that's as plain, Brother St. Clair, as I can put it. If you have love one for the other, Brother Mayo, lest you doubt what love is, just look in your Bible. I said, it's all there. It goes right down the line. I don't have it in my notes. I don't have it in my scripture text. That went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? I believe it, Brother Mel. This young man, his father agreed with me, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Can you bear with me in my folly just a few more minutes? He said, "Preacher, you're right." I took the tapes over. I told him, "Sir, you must commit to see this young man's in church every time the doors are open. If you will not bring him, we will come get him." Okay, I'll be there. I'll bring him. He didn't. The reception that I received when I would go become more icy. Friend, we're dealing with spirits of parents that would just as soon see their young person in hell than to have an apostolic preacher tell them how to make heaven. I'm telling you tonight, we're in a race with time. We don't have long. If for no other reason, if there was no other sign in the Word of God than the very fact that the very demons of the pit have been unleashed on this society, that alone is proof enough that this generation is in trouble. They cut me off. They eventually put him in the insane asylum, 15 years old. I got a call a few weeks ago. James has hung himself. They found him, they cut him down, they put him in intensive care. But he ain't gonna make it. Young people, I wish to God I could have had you all there that night when we went to the mortuary, Brother Wilson. They opened the casket, but I would have never even dreamed it was the same young man. What am I telling you? We're running out of time. We're running out of time, church. In my name, you're going to cast out devils. The musicians prepare tonight. Scripture goes on to say they're going to speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They're going to lay hands on the sick. I said they're going to lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. Yes, it still works. Elder, it still works. We have success stories. Very quickly, we've been in prayer. Everyday prayer, Brother Johnson. Everyday prayer. Me, everyday pray. Women pray early in the morning. Men pray in the afternoon. Saturday prayer meeting. Do you believe in prayer? Come on, apostolics. Do you believe it still works? We prayed, Brother Manus, send them. We're reaching, but we can't reach them all. A few weeks ago, a young man walked in the door. Young man, about 40 years old. I looked at the people. They looked at me. Who invited him? Nobody. You could be up here telling your same success story, but I'm telling you, it still gets the job done. I taught that morning. I preached. He come to me, "Preacher, I got to be baptized." Souls Harvey, am I telling you the truth? He said, I have no religious background. I never went to church anywhere. I told him, I said, "Sir, I need to sit down with you." And as is most of the time the case, I figured, well, I'll have to explain the truth to him. Sometimes we make the wrong assumption. Sometimes they're so hungry, it wouldn't have mattered to him if I'd have baptized him in the name of anything. He wanted to be baptized because he wanted to make heaven. Hooked on cocaine. Hooked on nicotine. Life. Tragic. I said, "I got to open the scripture to you." I did. Went through it. Acts 2. Acts 8. Acts 10. Acts 19. Right down the line. That's our sugar sticks. But it still works. It works. Don't ever just assume they know it. Don't ever just assume that they will not accept it. He said, "I want to be baptized." He come back that night. Repentant heart. Thursday night. We baptized him in Jesus' name. And sir, the minute he was baptized, he was delivered from nicotine. Don't be intimidated. He said, "Preacher, I hadn't wanted one since. No more cocaine. No more nicotine." Do you desire tonight to be part of that glorious church? If we all stand right now. No longer can we be satisfied with status quo. No longer can we be tormented with the failures of yesterday. No longer can we be contented to fight Satan from the defensive. Let me repeat it. We must take the offensive. And I challenge this convocation tonight. Let's leave here prepared for the challenge of the 90s. Because I feel with all that's in me, the decade of the 90s will be the decade of the rapture. You hear what I'm saying? Is that your hope? We must move forward with aggressive vision. We must let our vision be projected past the obvious obstacles into the realm of the possibilities. Young preacher, don't let the obvious problems blind you to what you have rightfully in the Holy Ghost. Franklin Roosevelt, Sister Johnson, when I jotted this down, I thought of you. President, then President Franklin Roosevelt, of course, died in Warm Springs, Georgia. But he was working on a speech that he never lived to deliver. And there's a part of that speech I want to challenge this conference with tonight. In that speech, he never lived to give it. But when I read it, it challenged me to the depths of my spirit. He said to this nation that at that time had been torn apart and devastated by World War II. Some of you can remember that. He was going to say, and I say to you tonight, I quote, "The only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today." Gentlemen, that says it all. Because this word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He went on to say, let us move forward. ALJC, it's nothing but up from here. I said it's nothing but victory from here. Let us move farther forward with strong and active faith. And can everyone in this building lift your hand right now and just talk to Jesus in your own way? Commit yourself to the task that lies before us.